You're listening to Retail Gets Real, brought to you by the National Retail Federation. Join us for a look inside the world's largest and most interesting industry. And now your host, Bill Thorne.
Welcome to Retail Gets Real, where we talk about the industry that impacts everyone, every day, everywhere. I'm Bill Thorne from the National Retail Federation, and I'm joined today by my co-host, Shaquela Mills. Hello, Shaquela.
Hi, Bill. Glad to be here today.
Well, it's great to be here in the beautiful city of Chicago.
Yes, it is.
At the Retail's Academic Symposium, hosted by the Foundation. And I'm very excited about our guest. It's Ann Voller. She's a Group Vice President at Macy's, and she's a member of the National Retail Federation Foundation Board. Welcome, Ann.
Thank you. I'm happy to be here today with you.
So, Ann, the National Retail Federation Foundation, explain to me real quick, what is the purpose of that group as it relates to jobs, careers, students, et cetera?
I think a big part of what the group is attempting to achieve is to educate about retail careers, what you can do in our industry. The reason that I am participating on the board is the liaison between talent acquisition or recruiting and bringing in people into our industry. So it started with a lot of concentration towards college recruiting, but we quickly realized that many of us also oversee a lot more than just the college part of recruiting. And that becomes really important in our industry too, as so many of the technical areas and scientific areas, data science, et cetera, are really, really growing. So there's just a lot of education that's needed that we're joining together as a force to attempt to achieve.
Now, you've been in the retail industry for some time. How did you get into that, and how have you evolved since you got involved?
It's interesting. It makes you realize how fast technology has changed. I started in college, and I needed to make money so I could pay my tuition and buy shoes.
Like most of us,
right? But I fell in love with the industry, with the pace, with the people, and felt like that was maybe a place I could build my career, and I did. But it's interesting. I'm not sure I would have done all of the things today, given the opportunities to pursue jobs that we didn't have even as recently as 20 years ago. So when I was really young in my career, it was more a phone call or a tap on the shoulder, or you kind of petition something up through your boss, when we didn't get to go look at job boards and what's available and what can I go apply for. So I didn't even know necessarily what was out there. You kind of just waited for the phone to ring and kind of worked it, you know, in the hallway, so to speak. So what's interesting is now you can really see what you would want to do. And I think that that makes people want to go faster or do things that maybe they didn't have on their minds yesterday as they do build their careers. And, you know, I would encourage people to do that. So it's interesting. And that really is very, very recent. I'm not that old. So to see that much change in just my career and how I would have grown up in it, it's interesting to think back if I could have really looked at a job board 20 years ago and seen all that was out there. Is this where I would have landed? I'm not sure.
No LinkedIn, none of that.
No LinkedIn.
It was
no
all
LinkedIn.
Kind of word of mouth. And
it was.
Just kind of, you know, happening on something as opposed to having an ability to get on several different sites and kind of narrow down what the interest is and where you're going to put all of your efforts.
Exactly. Yeah. Even networking was harder because you didn't know who was in what job.
Right.
When you say there's
really?
No LinkedIn.
Even though people weren't glued to their phones while they're out and
okay,
tracking
so,
who's
but remember,
what?
Shaquela, we didn't have cell phones even.
Oh, right.
Those aren't that old either. I mean, the iPhone is what, like 6 years old, seven yeah, years old? So it just hasn't been that long. So that's been absolutely the factor is technology that has changed, I think, how you build your career, what you do with your career, where you can go with your career. The availability of information is like nothing it was 20 years ago.
I heard somebody the other day, they gave a statistic. It's like there's a generation now that has never licked a stamp. That was shocking to me because they're all self-adhesive now or everybody's doing email. But I remember my mom during Christmas would have a sit down and would give us like a Christmas card just to lick the stamp and put it on. And so that's, you know, when you talk about the evolution of things,
exactly,
it's just absolutely astounding to me that we would have a generation that has never had to lick a stamp.
Right.
Anyway, Shaquela.
I mean, there are pros and cons to that. But
they really tasted bad.
Mm-hmm. Sure. So you said that you, so you told us about your career and how you got started. How did you get into the recruiting aspect yourself?
That was a phone call. About 15 years ago, almost. As someone had called me, actually it was the head of HR at the company that I was with and wanted me to consider running college recruiting. And I said, no, I think that's for somebody younger than me. Mm-hmm. He said, no, we didn't say be a college recruiter. We said run college recruiting. I said, all right, let's see what this is about. It absolutely turned out to be the best thing I ever, ever did. I loved that job. I loved doing it. I still have a lot of friends in career services and am highly involved in our college program at Macy's. So again, that's interesting because I didn't get to really research the job like you could do today before mm-hmm. you go into it. It was the phone rang and I had to end up in somebody's office and start pitching myself for a job that I wasn't sure was even something that I wanted to do. But the best decision that I ever made. So that's how I got into recruiting.
You know, recruiting on college campuses, I mean, I would assume that there's some difficulty there because when you look at students that are in accounting or in some kind of technology major, I don't think that the first thing they think about is, oh, I'm going to go work for a retailer.
No, it's not.
I'm going to go work for an accounting firm. I'm going to go work in Silicon Valley. But it's not about retail. How do you overcome that? When you talk to these people, when you work with the schools, when you talk to the students, how do you explain this is a career? This is an opportunity.
It's interesting because retailers will be on campus at computer science career fairs. And, you know, everyone knows our brands. They certainly, you know, Macy's is a household brand. And they'll say, we love your stores, but why
are
you here?
They don't connect the dots.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, okay, have you ever shopped on Macy's.com? Sure. Okay, we don't outsource that. We do that ourselves. So there's wonderful careers for you in retail, but we do have to educate. It does come back to educating. We definitely have a huge finance organization and lots of opportunities in finance, in human resources, in the entire world of marketing or computer science and places that people don't think about what builds your business behind the stores. Mm-hmm. We are so well known for our stores and what we offer in the stores that your first of mind isn't all of the other careers that support the stores, which are still very, very important. But it does take more than just stores.
And it sounds like a lot of it boils down to education, because I'll even hear students say, I don't know about a retail store. I want to go work for Apple.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh, you don't understand that Apple is a retail store? They think of it as a, you know,
as a technology store. Right.
Or, you know, same thing with the Amazons and things like that. Mm-hmm. So they don't connect the dots between, you know, the shopping that they're actually doing, because a lot of these kids are shopping online and on mobile. But they don't peel back that layer to think about the people who are actually, you know, working to make these things run efficiently. And
that's
to get
the key.
You,
mm-hmm. Right. It's who you bring to campus with you.
Right.
That makes the difference. It's
okay.
People in the jobs, maybe a few years out of campus or 5 years out of campus. So you can see what your career can be mm-hmm. by talking to the people who are in those jobs. So that's what's really important. And now with the whole evolution of virtual recruiting, it becomes even easier to do that.
Yes, because I've even heard of a term called omni-channel recruiting, where
we love that word.
I really would like to see that stricken. Omni-channel is just getting so overused. And
it's
being
a buzzword.
Oh my gosh, it's a buzzword that's just buzzing way too much.
Yeah, there are retailers who are, people who are asking, you know, students to send in their resumes via Snapchat or things like that. It's just, how is that new age recruiting or omni-channel recruiting?
All right. So
if you must.
Exactly. What we want to do is be able to cast a broad net. If you're interested in learning about a career at Macy's, and we don't go to your campus, we still want to talk to you. Or you're a couple of years out of school. There's many, many entry-level opportunities with us, or 5 years out or 10 years out, etc. So we want to be available. And the best way to do that is through virtual means. And we do, if you look at Macy's College website, We offer virtual.
It's one of the best recruiting websites.
Thank you. We offer virtual events, so you can participate in information sessions. I think they do sometimes Twitter Tuesdays where you can tweet with the recruiters. So just different ways of getting out there and communicating the message and then getting more people involved in delivering what it is that we're trying to teach you about that we do.
So it's really meeting them where they are.
Exactly.
More or less.
Exactly. In a way that we can help you be prepared so that at the point that you do come in and go through interviews, you're ready. Right. You're ready to have that that interview and connect with the executives that are in the process of making those decisions. So it's just a multifaceted approach.
Yes. And at Macy's College is one of our favorite Twitter handles. And so we've seen the intern days and the photos and even the tips that they give students to prepare them when they go to the website, how to apply, questions to ask during interviews and things like that.
So. Well, since you opened that door, what is the website so that people can see?
Macy'sCollege.com or BloomingdalesCollege.com. Correct.
Yeah, so I would think one of the best things or one of the best opportunities for y'all is the chance to bring a lot of people in, especially for the holidays, holiday staffing, and give them an experience.
So now you've shifted from college into the hourly world.
All right.
Which is fine. But, I just want to make sure.
A lot of those kids, though, are college kids. I mean, they're working over the holidays trying to make some extra money. Some are, you know, people that are just needing a job or want to supplement. Mm-hmm. But the bottom line is it's an opportunity for them to get in and actually see the operation. Do you all look at that as an opportunity to try to maybe draw some people in from the hourly to look at an opportunity
Absolutely.
For a career?
Absolutely. We hire lots of people to run holiday for us, somewhere in the vicinity of about 80,000 people. So it's more than students. It might be teachers who
Sure.
are taking a hiatus during those few weeks that are very, very, very important to us and our business. And many people that, just like you said, supplement their income or are looking to try something out or maybe have the option in their lives to only work part of the time. And mm-hmm. this is what they choose to do over the holidays for a little extra money. So that is a great introduction to what the industry could offer to you. And if you're interested in pursuing any type of management opportunities, we would encourage you to talk to the people in the store or the warehouse or the call center where you're working, because once we know you and you're performing well for us, we would absolutely love for you to stay on and build your career with us.
So. How many management do you bring from like the from the hourly workforce? I mean, so somebody that starts hourly gets excited about having the opportunity, and then you notice. And then you bring them into the program. How many would you say go through that program from hourly to management?
Well, when you go in, it depends on which business function. But if you're talking stores and you go into a management program, there's a learning guide that you follow through as you get promoted to a management position. It's really, adults don't learn through programs, they learn through experiences. And we can say, here's what you have to expect with a coaching exercise with someone that you're trying to help increase their productivity. Go try that. Come back and talk to a mentor about it. What did you learn? Or should someone shadow you in maybe a tough conversation? Come back. What did you learn from it? That's how you build your management skills. It's really through interactions, feedback. Go back, try it again, and that's how you learn. So it's not the world of training people to be managers isn't in the classroom. It's really, we do so much more today. The managers all have tablets that they use that they refer to, and all of the learning guides are on there, who the people are that are working today. So we work everything through technology on the selling floor so that we don't have to leave the selling floor.
So you mentioned bringing technology into the selling floor and how technology has changed over the years. What are some different ways that you guys are incorporating technology as you recruit or as you train people up in store and recruit on campus and train people up in store?
Okay. I'll tell you, it's so interesting because even as recent as just a couple years ago, we might have had a technical person on my team. Now I have a team that has technical responsibilities. And you think, why would that be? You know, with recruiters that are on the phone or, you know, looking through LinkedIn or something like that. But when we hire hourly people into our seasonal roles, we actually have developed, we call it the phone app. And it's an application that we put people that pass through the your first part of the process. So we do an initial screening, you make it through the initial screening, we feed your information into this application, and then up comes a script and we call you on the phone, interview you, and we hire you right there on the phone. So speed is important. Mm-hmm. The personal interaction is important, but the technology is important. Right. And that's what's evolving every day. I mean, we're talking about considering chatbots. Can we bring in a chatbot to answer some of the really simple questions, which would make it really easy for us to conduct 24/7 operation of initial screenings and things. So we're looking into all of that world. So the technology is absolutely evolving very, very quickly, along with the analytics and how we report on the funnel of number of applications, and then doing predictable analytics. Kind of get to the point where there's an opening. I know the big store is going to have an opening next week. Can we get to the point where we've actually hired that person to fill that job before it opens? So that's the direction that we're headed. So it's very interesting how all of this has evolved and the speed at which we really need to operate in order to be competitive.
So you mentioned hiring and working in talent acquisition. Tell us about a time you've had to hire someone and what their career path has looked like. Or do you have a favorite, story or recruiting story of being on campus or in store that you could share with us?
Oh, I've hired and interviewed thousands.
Probably.
Over the years.
Half the Macy's workforce.
nowhere near. My recruiters are much better at interviewing than I am. But I have participated in many an interview in my day. I can't think of a favorite story.
Okay, that's fine. Well, good.
There's got to be, when you look at your job and how it's evolved, and you look at where you started and where you are now, did you have any concept this is where it would end up? And do you have any view for what it's going to look like in the future?
Mm. It's so interesting because I was reading yesterday on the plane here about how artificial intelligence or AI will start to play into what it is that we do in the talent acquisition space.
Wow, already they're going into the AI field with talent. Wow, that's interesting.
It is interesting. And it's going to still be about people. You're still going to need recruiters because it's about the human touch, and it's about the marketing of the jobs and the answering of the questions, and every question of every candidate for every job is different. Mm-hmm. So, and personalizing the experience will continue to be important. But will technology be able to help us understand your motivation for the fit? Are you really the type of person that would be great in this job? Is this the right job for you and for us? And from a cultural fit or from an assessment of your skills and your background, I can see that that's where technology and AI may play a role. And the jobs that we do recruit for, within the next 10 years, I read that there's the prediction that trucks will be self-driven. So, I mean, think about that every day as you're making your commutes with the truck drivers. Where is that going to evolve to? So that, there will definitely be differences in the jobs that we recruit for, but there will absolutely still be a need for recruiters to do that. So, one article says 10 years, one article says 3 years, it's going so fast that you can't even really get your head around where the world's going to be in 20 years from now when you talk about technology, but there are always going to be places where people have to interact with people. Right. And I think that recruiting is one of those industries, definitely supplemented with technology.
Absolutely. Well, Anne, this has been incredibly interesting. And we have one segment of the program. You got a little bit of a heads up about it, but it's called Rapid Fire.
Oh, yes.
We're going to ask you a few questions. We want you to just say the first thing that comes to your mind. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
All right.
You're in the hot seat now.
What is your favorite interview question?
It depends on the level of person that you're interviewing, but if it's a college student, I like to tell them or ask them, show me your resume and point to the thing on here that you contributed the most to, made the biggest difference with, or drove a result through. All the clubs, all the organizations, all the jobs, show me where you really made a difference.
Is there one thing you wish candidates wouldn't do in an interview or throughout the recruiting process? It's just a big no-no or red flag?
I would tell you, you have to have questions. At the end, when we say to you, you know, I'll save time, have questions for me. And you say, oh, no, I think we're wrapped up here. I'm probably going to agree with that.
Because so if you hear really crickets,
should,
you're like,
yeah, you really should come in prepared with 30 or 40 questions. You'll probably get to 3 or 4, but be prepared for the, take advantage of that interviewer's expertise.
What's the best career advice you personally have ever received?
Be yourself. I think that there was a time when you're trying to be as good as the person who maybe you took the job from, or I wanted to be better, and somebody pulled me aside and said, just be you. That was so insightful.
And that's refreshing to hear in a social media age where, you know, people are pretending to be other people.
It was probably before Twitter, but that's okay. It still applies.
So speaking of Twitter, what's the first app you open in the morning?
Embarrassingly, it's Facebook.
And many of us join the club.
I have rules around Facebook, though. It isn't something that I use with people that I work with. It's really family and friends, and so I don't happen to live near family and friends, so it kind of makes me feel close to them in the mornings.
Yeah, if it weren't for Facebook, I would never remember anyone's birthday. So
that's true too. Yes, that does bail you out.
It's in handy.
Well, Ann, congratulations on getting through rapid fire, and thank you for joining us, Ann Fuller.
Yes,
Group Vice
you.
President at Macy's.
My
we really,
pleasure.
Truly appreciate the insights you were able to give us. And thank you out there for listening to another episode of Retail Gets Real. We'll post more information about the topics we discussed today on our website, retailgetsreal.com, where you can also find links to all of our other episodes. Subscribe to the show and give us a rating and review on Apple Podcasts. We're also on Google Play and Stitcher. Chiquela, great spending time with you.
Thanks, Bill. Until next time.
Thanks for listening. We'll see you next time.
You've been listening to Retail Gets Real, brought to you by NRF. For more information about the National Retail Federation, visit us online at nrf.com.